And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Sports Kings from Queens. Today's Wednesday, September 27th. I'm Gino. I'm here with Kevin. I'm here with Darren. Guys, how are you tonight?
Doing great.
Fantastic.
All right, please listen to us any way you get your podcast. Please like and subscribe. Follow us on Facebook. Talk to us. We want to talk to you. A lot of stuff going on. Tonight, we got some college football. We got some baseball playoff stuff. We got a trade in the NBA. We got Ryder Cup getting ready to start up. And the NFL week number 3 is done. That's where we're starting. Losses for both New York football teams, the Jets and the Giants. It's a bad loss for the Jets. It's their 15th in a row to New England. But Zach Wilson looks worse out there than any kind of loss we could talk about. Guys, he's got no pocket presence. He's showing no confidence out there. He's hurting the team at this point. Another quarterback needs to be here. We're going to get into it right now. Kev, why don't you start us off, and then we'll talk it over.
Given the way both football New York area teams look, is it too early to start looking at hockey? Preseason started.
No.
Can we get some winning teams in New York area? Jeez. Jets. Zach Wilson did not play well. I am not going to defend Zach Wilson right now. However, the entire offense needs to be looked at this point. The offensive line is not good. We've said it all year so far. The problem is that the other team has been playing 7 or 8 in the box. Everything is so close to the line of scrimmage. You can't have Cook and Hall combined 20 carries for 36 yards. I like the commitment to the run game, but every pass also seems to be right around the line of scrimmage. I don't know if that's because of bad play calling by Hackett. I don't know if it's Zach being uncomfortable going to the check down too early. I don't know if it's because of the pressure of the offensive line. Something needs to be done to light a fire under this team. And I've got one driver in particular that really pissed me off. More so than the rest of the game, too. After the Jets were down 13-3, New England had the ball in their own 20, a couple penalties. They kicked it from their own 12. We got the ball back at the 49. First time in the second half, the crowd may be starting to get into it. You know, the defense actually does this job. We've got the ball at midfield. What's the first down play call? Breece Hall to the left for -3. That's a time when you've got to take advantage of the crowd getting into it. Maybe get a little excitement. Where's Mecole Hardman? Why not roll Zach Wilson out, have Hardman go deep, and at least try to throw a deep ball? Can we throw something more than 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage? That's all we're doing.
He has the arm strength.
There's no question about that.
But Darren, can he roll out and throw the ball down the field? I don't care if Hardman's covered, as long as it's not double or triple coverage. If he's got single coverage, can't you just throw it down there and at least take a shot?
Of course. I mean, here's the thing, right? The Jets have big problems. They have big problems, right? they can win this game if they don't blow a coverage on the only touchdown that they gave up, or Cobb comes down with the Hail Mary, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's awful, but it seems okay, right? Instead, none of this happens, right? Here's the thing. Tippmann came in, 39 pass protections, not one pressure. So Tippmann did the job at right guard. Vera Tucker was great at right tackle, statistically great. Becton was good. I can't kill Becton on the safety because if Zach's going to step up, you release the freaking ball. He got beat on an inside spin move when the quarterback stepped up. I can't crush him on that. Was he great? But he wasn't awful. This is probably Tomlinson's best game of the year. You know how I feel about McGovern. We don't have a great center. I'm hoping to move Tippmann over there. The problem with this team is there's a million of them. Zach, I've been an apologist for Zach for two and a quarter years now. His pocket presence at the end of the game was horrendous. Not knowing what 4th and 10, you don't throw a 1 yard pass. I know what you're talking about, the drive you're talking about, where they didn't move from the 49.
Yeah.
But how in the world on a 4th and 10 is that the time you finally check down? How I thought Conklin would catch it with his back to the defender and break a tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you're giving it to a receiver or a running back. You're giving it to a lumbering tight end. He's quick for a tight end, but you're asking him to beat a guy and then probably beat two more to get a first down. How do you not have pocket presence at this stage? I also thought that if you can't get him with any rhythm with any of these receivers, then play Brownlee over Hardman if you're not going to use him. Put in Hardman over. I mean, Lazard and Cobb are too slow. They're not getting open.
I was going to say, can we not? Rodgers not playing. Can we not put Cobb out there, Rodgers' buddy?
At least we don't need him.
Up there. We don't need him.
Lazard's not quick. Cobb's not quick. What are we doing? And once again, you know that they're going to stock the box. I can't even get mad that they stopped the run. Because you know Belichick was taking it away. You know that's what he was going to do. There was no chance we were going to run the ball. But the fact is that every pass is a check down. Is that Zach or is that the offensive coordinator? At this point now, it's Saleh, it's Hackett, and it's Douglas. These are the three guys. Because we'll get into it in a second, G, but I'm sure you're going to bring up Semien now, so I'll let you lead the way with that, and then we'll get into that. But Kev's got 1 point first.
I was going to say, I'm also not going to give the defense a free ride here, too. I know 15 points, you say, the defense did its job. New England also missed two field goals in the first half. New England, for the first 2.5, almost 3 quarters, 8-for-14 on third down. They're extending drives. They're getting drives going. They're at least moving the ball, flipping field position. The last 2 weeks, when we've needed the defense to step up, they have a grand total of 1 sack. This great defensive line, 1 sack.
0 turnovers.
No turnovers. And look at game one, you know, the 4 turnovers by Josh Allen. 2 were heaves that Whitehead were gifted to. 1 he ran to his own player for a fumble. There was 1 nice play by Whitehead. So this great, unbelievable defense has got to figure out how to get to the quarterback, get some sacks, get some turnovers. You know, it doesn't help when this defense, you know, okay, maybe you kept them out of the end zone. You know, the other team has been able to drive from the 20 in the midfield. Yeah, you finally stop them. They punt. But now the offense has to go 90 yards. Where's the damn turnover? Get the ball down to the 20-yard line. Get them in, let them start in field goal range. Then if you don't score a touchdown, then the defense can turn around and bless the offense.
All right, listen. Zach Wilson, his footwork's abysmal. He takes too much time to get rid of the ball. He's I don't even know if he's a good quarterback at this point. I don't even know if he should be in the NFL. You guys saw this last year, and that's why you went out and got Rodgers, right? You brought Rodgers here because you knew Zach was not the answer. So it's getting a little out of control that we're now 2 weeks past week one, and there's nobody else here. Trevor Siemian is signed. Trevor Siemian is not a play. This is not a guy to bring in. What is he going to do? And again, you're bringing him in to be the backup quarterback. Okay. And listen, I know you guys are going to bring up a ton of points, but you know what? You are a bad Josh Allen game and 4 turnovers away from being 0-3. Let's put this out, right? You got the Chiefs this week. You're going to be 1-3 probably going to a game against Denver. And then you got Philly. This is not going the way you guys. And listen, I know you guys have tried to support Zach Wilson as much as possible, but here you go. You ready? These were our comments from last year about Zach Wilson. Wilson lays an egg. He's god awful. He deserves to be benched. Darren, he's disgraceful. The amount of pocket presence he has is ridiculous. He looks confused. Horrible clock management. Okay? The Jets were eliminated, and Darren, it's hard to imagine Zach Wilson is on this team next year. Zach is not the answer, and you need to bring in at least one quarterback, and definitely a veteran. And guys, I have...
No, we did that. We did everything we said. He got hurt on 4 plays.
Listen. All right, listen. You want to blame partially the offensive game plan that is not giving him confidence because they're all it is dump offs and crappy plays, fine. But at some point, we have to get past this point and say, you have to have another quarterback in here. If otherwise, the season is done. Listen, we knew the season took a major turn 4 plays in when Rodgers went down. I get it. There's no backup quarterback here. This is not the answer. He's not the answer. And I know you guys are going to point to the offensive line. It doesn't matter. He's not the answer. How much longer are you guys going to go with this not being the answer? This has to be solved. Trevor Siemian is here. Big deal. Trevor Siemian can't make it in the NFL. Okay? He's not even a starter in this league. Okay? And not only that, but the answer is Trevor Siemian is being brought in here, but Zach Wilson is still our quarterback. I mean, come on, Darren.
First and foremost, it's not like Kevin and I have the ability to change the quarterback room. They don't come to us. Joe is covering his ass, okay? Let's be honest. He brought in someone that cannot compete with Zach, so he can continue to play his draft pick. Because at the end of the season, most likely the Jets will clean house. If the season goes the way it's going right now, most likely Joe won't be here, Salah won't be here, Zach won't be here. This is what we're looking at if they keep going this way. But what Joe did was that he doubled down and said, I'm going to bring in a career backup that had a start for the Jets a few years back and played, was it six plays I think he played before he got hurt. I mean, Trevor Siemian is he lost the backup duties Cincinnati in the preseason. Okay. He lost to, it was a Browning, the kid out of Washington, beat him out. Right. So, I mean, whatever. He was never going to play ahead of Burrow anyway. So he was not a threat. Now he comes in here to be a credible backup, which means why did they make the move for Boyle? I mean, they actually traded for Boyle. It wasn't like there was like, they went out of their way to sign a guy. But here's the thing, in last week's game, in the second half, Boyle has to see the field.
Exactly.
Boyle has to see the field.
He has to.
If you're not getting anything out of Zach, and listen, the O-line has not been good, okay? The receivers don't have much speed. The defense has been more than disappointing. All these things are true. But everything that you want to see in Zach Wilson, which you heard he was improving with Rodgers, and I was excited about him being my backup. I admit it. And you know what? If they roll with Zach, I root for Zach every week, Jay. I don't have much of a choice. Yeah. It's not like I'm going to sit there and I'm never a Jet fan again because of these moves. I don't have a choice. I root for the laundry. This is my team. But if Boyle shouldn't be there as a backup if he's not going to play. If the quarterback can't get it done, then the backup has to come in. It doesn't mean you can't go back to Zach to start the next week. But you need to utilize the guy. Because here's the thing. Mike White was nothing special last year. But for Jet fans, he looked like he was a god in half the games because he got rid of the ball quickly and threw the ball down the field. Zach doesn't process quick enough. No matter how well he does it in practice, when the game starts and when those lights are on and when the defense is allowed to hit you, he seems to be rattled. I don't know how else to explain it. Kev?
What you said, 1,000%.
No one's ever agreed with me before. I don't even know how to react. That's exciting.
What's there to say? I mean, everything you said was right.
I'm kidding. But, I mean, Namath ripped him this week. Joe has been the biggest apologist for every Jet of all time. Yeah. Namath went off on him.
Even Joe lost his patience.
Oh, my God. They're saying Salah's losing the locker room. I don't know. But I've seen teams where the defense is doing everything and the offense is doing nothing and they start turning on each other. We're right there. We're right there with this. And, well, listen, we have turmoil. Basically, the Jets are in turmoil. Now, here's the thing. We don't think that they're going to beat the Chiefs. But I didn't think that the Cardinals had a rat's-ass chance of beating the Cowboys last week. Yeah. That's why you play the game. That's why we see what happens. That's why we roll the dice. That's why we see if the Chiefs take them lightly. That's why we see if the Jets may do something different. But to me, switch up the receivers. I don't need to see Cobb anymore. Play the two rookies. Play him. Or get the ball to Hardman. I mean, here's the thing about the NFL. When your quarterback is kind of young and new, or even if he's a veteran, you put a guy in motion to see if they're playing man or zone. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
The guy in motion, if the guy comes across with him, they're playing man. If the guy stays where he is, they're playing zone. Helps your quarterback. It's nothing complicated. It's not like a weird thing. But the Jets do no motion. The Jets do nothing. They do no trickery. Every time they try anything, it seems like it's a sweep left or something like that, or a pitch left, and it's a three-yard loss. Can't live that way. Got to throw the ball down the damn field. And the fact of the matter is, you got to throw on first down. This team is not going to be built to run the ball right away. You have to throw to set up the run, and you got to throw the ball 15 yards down the field to set up the run. You can't be throwing three-yard outs. It doesn't do crap for you. This is a team where everybody's stacking the box, eight in the box every freaking play. You throw, you complete some 15-yard passes, suddenly everything loosens up. Then we can run. But if they don't do it, it doesn't matter. At least try it. If the kid can't throw the ball 15 yards or has no confidence to do it, has to check down, then Boyle plays. Would you have a problem if Boyle came in?
No.
G? Would you have a problem with the ball? You might as well put somebody in that's not afraid to throw the ball.
Listen, at this point, the question becomes, how bad does Zach have to look before you make this change?
To me, the first half of this game, he has two quarters. That's it. He has maybe four drives, probably three, maybe four. The defense has to rise to the occasion, which even if they rise, you're not going to hold Mahomes under 21 most likely. And okay. Zach's going to have to throw the ball. He's going to have to air it out.
Yeah.
Play the speed, guys. I don't understand why we're playing slow.
He can't be 18 for 36, and you guys expect the Jets to get a win.
Well, listen, go nuts, Mac Jones, if you take away the 58-yard pass where nobody – no, I spent. Wait a second. He threw 50% the same way as Zach did. He threw for 140 yards. He wasn't good either. He moved the chains better than Zach did. I'm not saying he didn't. But let's not sit there and fucking act like he did something special.
We'll talk
watch
about
the game before you talk.
We'll
like
talk
that.
About him next. No, but what about the $40 million man who shares the stadium throwing for 137?
But we're not talking about anybody else. We're talking right now.
You're talking
about
that game and that weather. Two guys competing against each other. Their stats were comparable.
Yeah,
but you can't. Again, we keep going back around to this though. At some point, they have to make a change and take Zach out. Okay, we can't keep playing this bad, and anybody expect the Jets to get a win. It can't happen.
I agree.
So at what point is it going to happen? It doesn't
matter.
It
should have been last week at the half. They
There it is.
They didn't do it. Should have been Boyle in the second half, and if he was inept, then we say, okay, we have to bring in a real quarterback.
I agree.
The fact that they brought in Trevor Siemian is a bit of a slap to a Jet fan, because basically what they said was, we're not bringing in anyone where we have to bench Zach.
Yep.
That's what they did. That's what Joe Douglas did. And for all the great draft picks, whether it's Vera Tucker, whether it's the two rookies of the year last year and Wilson Sauce, whether it's Breece Hall, whether it's Clemens, whether it's Jermaine Johnson, all these great draft picks mean nothing because you got it wrong with the quarterback.
Yep. Okay.
You screwed up the number two pick. Messed it up. You're out. He's gone. So Salah, they're gone if they don't win this year. They have to be. You can't have a record like Salah's record and give him a pass. We gave him a pass in the first year because the team was horrible. And then the second year, you're like, okay, they were close. He was keeping receipts, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. But everybody loves to use that term now. I keep receipts. Bullshit. Stop with the bull lines. Enough of this. But then they tank down the stretch. But, okay, we got him a quarterback this year. That's going to be the difference. Well, I don't see the defense getting any better despite more talent. And offensively, it's worse than ever. So we were banking on a 39-year-old savior that got hurt in the fourth play. G?
Okay. Moving on to the other New York football team. Giants took a loss 30-12 against San Francisco. Giants were never in it. With no Barkley, they just keep looking like they're overmatched. San Francisco had 440 yards. The Giants won 50. Debo scored. McCaffrey scored. Purdy threw for 310 and 2. Guys, any thoughts on the Giants? Darren?
108-19 in the last three games against teams that are good. 108-19. You can sit there and talk all about how much you love Daniel Jones. And to be honest, I like Daniel Jones. I just hate Giant fans talking about Daniel Jones. I like Daniel Jones as a player. I probably like him more than most of the Giant fans did before the season started last year. The problem is that, again, he throws for 140 yards. He checked down. He completed 66% of his passes, and all of them were two-yard passes. They didn't want to sign Barkley. They gave him the freaking what's it called? I can't think of the term. Yeah, he signed off on that. Well, they gave the long-term contract to Jones. And when Jones has to do something outside of the Green Bay game, which Giant fans bring up, like the Jets didn't go to freaking Lambeau and beat that team. Well, the Giants beat them in London and the Minnesota road game where the Minnesota's 0-3 and the good luck they had in close games last year is gone. You know, this team doesn't beat anybody good. If they don't win the Seattle game, this team's 1-5. They got Buffalo and Miami the next 2 weeks. I think they're going to win the Seattle game. I think I picked them to go to the playoffs. I'm going to stick with it. But the fact of the matter is that they better win that game on Sunday because this team beats nobody that's very good. They can beat pretty good teams. They don't beat anybody that's got superior talent. The love of Brian Daboll blows my mind.
Yep.
He reminds me of Mangini. You know, good first year and everything. We'll see what he does from there. But this team, they laid an egg. I mean, without Barkley, they don't have much, but they were never in this game. I know they cut it to 17th. Well, but you never felt like the Giants could win the game, did you? I never thought so.
Scoreboard was a lot closer than the feel of the game.
Oh, they got 150 yards total offense. I mean, it was 3-1 in offense. Jake? Kev?
Oh, well, like you said, you know, 22 completions. He completed a decent percentage. 137 yards. That's 6 yards per completion. That's every one of them being a check down. Yep. And without Barkley, they rush for 29 yards as a team. So they've got no rushing game without Barkley in there. That one, you know, they play San Fran late in the egg, but I think everybody expected that, especially without Barkley there. You just wish Jones had played, you know, a little bit better like he was supposed to.
Well, the money you're paying him, he's got to be better than that.
Yep.
All right, San Francisco is one of three teams that are now 3-0. The second one played Monday night. Philadelphia won 25-11 over Tampa Bay. Philly in control all game. And then the third team that is now 3-0 are the Miami Dolphins. They put up a 70 against Denver. They had 5 touchdowns running, 5 touchdowns throwing. And that doesn't even tell the whole story because they probably could have had more if they wanted to press.
They took a knee.
Yeah.
It's the most points scored since 1966. My Washington team back then put up a 70. Miami just duplicated it. They had 726 yards of total offense. A-Chain had 2 touchdowns. Mostert had 3 touchdowns. It was just – they put up 14 points in the first, 21 in the second, 14 in the third, 21 in the fourth. It was just ridiculous. Kev?
726 yards in the game. Just for comparison, the Jets this year, 675. Tennessee, 720. Cincy, 733. Chicago, 750. The Giants, 760. So that's 5 teams that they almost had more yards than in one game. 70 points scored. That's more than half the league, or more than half the league has scored so far in their 3 games. And you know what? Couldn't have happened to a nicer coach. Hey, Sean Payton, you know how embarrassing the job that Nathaniel Hackett did last year in Denver? Well, guess what? He never let his team give up 70. He never got blown out by 50.
So he also started off 2-1.
Yeah. So Sean Payton, shut up.
Well, hey, listen.
You haven't done anything in this league without Drew Brees.
Tua looks unbelievable right now. He's one hit away from being out for his career. Hill is amazing. The offense could do no wrong. Simple fact of the matter is Buffalo's going to beat him this week.
Yep. So the Dolphins move to 3-0. Denver goes to 0-3. We got a couple of other 0-3 teams. Kansas City blew out Chicago. Games never closed, 41-10. Chicago is 0-3. Darren?
If I'm watching football, I really don't need to see Taylor Swift every freaking third play. I got to be honest, it's a freaking September game. Nobody is watching the game cares about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Nobody. Nobody. The announcers couldn't stop talking about it. Nobody cares. The Bears are awful, by the way. They're just downright awful.
The only time we want to hear Swift and Kelce in the same sentence is watching the Eagles game.
And they put them together. So they sat next to each other.
Of course they did.
To do that because it's his brother, so we had a good time with it. But the simple fact of the matter is the Chiefs looked great. They looked sluggish the first 2 weeks as they were getting it going. Offensively, they really kicked it up a notch.
34-0 at halftime. Jeez. Again, they could have scored. They took the gas.
They scored the 10 points against backup defensive players. They took out most of their starters. The other thing, I mean, they played without Bolton, who's their best linebacker, all that stuff. The other thing with this team is, I mean, you just watch Chicago. It looks like they don't know what they want to do with Fields. It looks like this is their last year for Eberflus already because, you know, either they're going to get rid of Fields or they're going to get rid of Eberflus or maybe both. You never know which way they're going to go with that. Kansas City, Hardman was a starter in Kansas City. So either Mahomes is that amazing that he can play with just horrible receivers or the Jets have no idea how to use a guy with speed. I just don't get it. Anyway, enough about the Jets.
All right, third team that moves to 0-3 is Carolina. They got beat by Seattle 37-27.
They hung in.
Kenneth Walker had 97 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Oh,
Seattle held Carolina to 44 yards. Ridiculous.
But that's a game. Carolina leads 13-12. Carolina leads 13-12 at halftime. How the hell is Andy Dalton throwing 58 times? What type of play calling is that?
It was pretty awful, actually. I watched a decent amount of that game, and, you know, Carolina hung in there for a while, and then they just got worn down against the run game.
Yeah.
Charbonnet had the run of the day. He literally ran somebody over. I mean, it was like, wow. And it was Walker that started in the game, but Charbonnet also had a great run. I mean, all of a sudden, the game just got out of hand. It looked like they might cover most of the way, and then they just kind of gave it up at the end.
Fourth team that moves to 0-3 is Minnesota. We had the two 0-2 teams going at it. The Chargers wind up winning the game 28-24. Kirk Cousins, with about 25 seconds, he in the last minute wasted about 25 seconds before they even got a playoff. It was horrible. He could have saved himself. He probably would have actually gotten another playoff at least, but Minnesota moves to 0-3 also. Kev?
Darren, do you want to give this stupid Staley move, the head coaching move of the week?
He went for it again on his own side of the field.
Fourth and one at your own 24.
Why are you doing
50
it?
Left, and the other team has no timeouts.
They are winning game. They won a game despite the stupidity of Staley. He's the worst coach in the NFL. Yeah, I know he's aggressive. Bull. He's a horrible coach.
That's not the time to be aggressive.
No, not at your own 24. You're giving them a field. I mean, not that they're going to take the field
goal. They need the field goal.
But you know, the simple fact of the matter is that you gave them a short field. It was just so dumb. And the defense is not very good, especially when Derwin James gets knocked out like he did. Oh. And Mike Williams is gone for the year again because he's always healthy. Yep. I mean, this team doesn't stay healthy. I mean, how many catches did Allen have? We have 15 or 18, something like that. And he threw a touchdown too. I mean, you know. And Herbert, you know, it was nearly perfect. It was 38 for 45, and they still barely won.
And should have lost.
Should have lost. Yeah. Still barely won. The guy was 38 for 45.
And with a minute 50, by the time the Vikings get the ball back, with a minute 50 at the 25-yard line, wherever it was, how do you run out of time by the end of the game? God,
I don't know.
And Kirk Cousins is considered a top half of the league quarterback.
That's what the Jets should get.
Well, hey, listen, if the Jets made a deal for Cousins, I'd
love it.
He's already thrown for over 1,000 yards in 3 games.
Yeah, exactly.
It's exact 10 games to throw 1,000.
Yeah,
maybe 8. All right.
In other games, Arizona beat Dallas 28-16. Dallas got down early, never came back in the game. Cleveland.
Listen, say this for Arizona. Gannon's got those kids playing hard. They could have beat the Giants. They could have beat the Commanders, and they did beat the Cowboys. You know what? They were in every single game they played so far. They led in the second half in all 3 games. They actually found a way to hold on against a team that beat the New York teams by a combined, what was it, 70-10?
70-10.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, Gannon, the team that's tanking, they're playing hard. I wish I saw this kind of energy from the Jets.
Cleveland beat Tennessee 27-3. Cleveland held Tennessee to 94 yards of offense. Miles Garrett, 5 tackles, 3.5 sacks, a forced fumble. He was all over the place. Kev?
No, I was going to say 97 yards.
Yep.
That's the guy the Jets should have made the trade for, Tannehill. They don't need him. They don't want him. It wouldn't cost a lot. He's only got 1 year left on his deal if you didn't want to keep him.
Yep.
He could play the play-action game, and he could throw the ball. That's the guy if you want to trade for somebody. But I don't know why they just didn't sign Wentz instead of Semien. Anyway, move on.
Yeah. Indy beat Baltimore 22-19 in overtime.
Another team playing hard every week.
Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew.
Gets a chance, too.
For the injured Anthony Richardson.
Who's back now? He cleared protocol. Yep. He'll play this week.
But what a game by Matt Gay, the kicker. The 31-yarder, 54, and 353s.
Kick and kick.
Yeah.
He outshined Tucker. Not easy to do in this sport.
Houston beat Jacksonville, 37-17.
Horrendous. Hard to believe Jacksonville got mauled at home.
C.J. Stroud, 280 and two touchdowns. So for three games, he's got 906 yards, four touchdowns, and no interceptions.
He's playing good.
Really, who should have gotten the ball one?
We all three of us keep saying we were thinking Stroud. We thought he was the best prospect.
Yep.
Buffalo destroyed Washington 37-3.
That late field goal really helped you out.
They had nine sacks and four interceptions. Green Bay beat New Orleans 18-17. New Orleans was up 17-0 at the half. Green Bay scored 18 in the fourth quarter. Jordan Love, comeback kid here. Carr was out with an injury.
That certainly helped.
Yeah. Yep. Pittsburgh beat Las Vegas 23-18. Jimmy G threw for two touchdowns, three interceptions.
But
and the big – go ahead, Kev.
Coaching decisions again there?
That's where I was going, so go ahead.
Yeah, McDaniels is an idiot also.
Certainly is.
With fourth and inches of 25 with 3:52 left. He goes for it. They get the offsides, moves it back to the 30. I didn't mind the field goal there because there's still 3:52 left.
Agreed.
With plenty of time. On the field goal, they get the penalty, automatic first down. They march down fourth and four at the 8 now with 2:20 left.
You're starting
to run out of time where one first down might end the game.
Yep.
As it turned out, it basically did.
It did.
And you're at the 8. If you throw incomplete, you're still burying them in the shadow of the end zone, where if your defense holds, you're going to get the ball back at midfield at worst.
You're inside the 15. And to me, it's almost a lock. They have to go for it.
Instead, they kick a field goal, get the ball back.
Then after the game, McDaniels, we were down two scores.
No, you weren't, genius.
Yeah, the two scores were a touchdown and a two-point conversion. Those were the two scores. And guess what? You got them on the same possession.
That Belichick coaching tree is priceless.
Yep.
Detroit beat Atlanta 20-6. Detroit held Atlanta to 44 rushing yards. That's the big news because Atlanta's been rushing the ball everywhere. And the last game on the schedule, Cincinnati beat the Rams 19-16. Burrow does not look good. Burrow looks hurt. He's playing through whatever the injury is. He was 26 of 49. He was 12 for 15 for 141 yards. But you could tell something's going on with Burrow right now, guys.
But another kicker that McPherson had four long ones, 48 plus,
and he missed one too.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on the NFL slate from last week before we move to college football?
No, I just think the Browns defense was not rated high enough going into the season because they've been good in every game.
Yep. I agree.
Team that you like. Jordan Love, a little bit better than we all thought he was going to be. I think that's fair to say. At least he's competitive. He's feisty. I kind of like what I'm seeing from him.
Especially without Christian Watson yet.
Yep.
And Aaron Jones out last week was a very good performance by him.
Even though I think if Carr stays in, they might lose that game, but he wasn't. It doesn't matter. They came back and won.
Yep.
And I still hate the Jalen Hurts quarterback sneak with the push from the back.
Yes.
I still hate the fact that wasn't outlawed. I know it was. They looked at it. They approved it. But
it
almost seems unfair. He gets 3 yards every time they do it. It's like you could do fourth and goal from the 3, and you know he's going to score. It just seems ridiculous.
And, it did come out today that Jalen Hurts, who didn't really look really good in that game. Apparently him and like four other guys, including Jason Kelce, all were dealing with some flu-like symptom stuff that they were dealing with. We're going to see. I got this feeling that at some point in the next couple of games, we're going to see them just explode, but we'll see what happens. I mean, they're playing the Commanders this week. This should be the game they probably explode. So,
well, here's the all thing. Right. These 3-0 teams, they're going to stumble somewhere along the line.
Absolutely.
In a game that
Absolutely.
We're not expecting. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Darren, let's move over to college football.
Listen, we had a really good slate this week. Kev was actually on location at an SEC game, so I'll have him touch on that a little bit. Let me just go through the games real quick last week. All right, Duke, Miami, Tennessee, and Georgia all rolled against inferior competition. No real question there. Penn State played Iowa. They rolled, too. It was like Iowa stuck. Iowa was ranked 24th going in 31-0. Kev?
76 total yards for Iowa. Another
Iowa's
great
not a good offensive team, but no. You expected a little bit better than that. Oregon pounded Coach Prime in Colorado 42-6. You know, crashing down to earth. Coach Prime had the team watch the entire video and they with some tough love to it. But Oregon really, really showed out. I mean, Lanning was pretty blatant and vocal going in. They're playing for clicks. We're playing for wins. Simple fact of the matter is Oregon was far better. Yep. Colorado didn't even have 100 yards in the first half. So very, very interesting game there. Michigan pummeled Rutgers 31-7, even though the game was closer than the score would indicate. Texas, as Gino predicted, went into Waco and just ran amok on Baylor, 38-6. Washington handled Cal, 59-32. I don't know if Washington's going to score less than 50 points in any game this year. USC struggled with Arizona State, pulled away late, 142-28.
Yeah, Caleb Williams, 3 touchdowns passing, 2 touchdowns rushing. Absolutely. And if they get the contribution, Marshawn Lloyd – was with South Carolina last year as a running back. I loved when I saw him in person last year, 14 for 154. If the guy's healthy, the guy can run and break off yardage.
And the fact of the matter is he's also a relatively strong back. He can break tackles pretty good. He's a tough runner. He's not just a speed guy. Oklahoma outlasted Cincy 20-6 in what was kind of an ugly game. North Carolina, as I believe Kevin predicted, toppled Pitt 41-24. Utah outlasted UCLA 14-7. Very interesting game. Garbers played one play. First play, he got picked for 7. Picked 6 the other way for UCLA. He got benched. They brought in the other kid. He got sacked 8 times, the 2 freshmen. Utah's just really strong defensive team. Game was 14-7, but UCLA was never really a threat offensively.
You know, Utah's still playing without Cam Rising, so you give him credit
Absolutely.
For staying undefeated without him. And sacks included with the rushing yards, but 32 rushes officially for UCLA for 9 yards.
I mean,
and that's what sacks included, yes. But
they're playing a true 18-year-old freshman who's done some nice things, but it's not easy to go to Salt Lake. And he found that out. Florida held off Charlotte 22-7, game closer than expected. LSU escaped the rivalry against Arkansas 34-31. After crushing Mississippi State, they had a hold on against Arkansas. That was crazy.
They kicked the field goal with 5 seconds left to win it.
Yeah, that was it. They had a hold on. They were down most of the fourth quarter. They came back.
I mean, Daniels had a big game, 320, 4 touchdowns.
But they were playing from behind most of the way.
Yep.
So, Kev, why don't you do me a favor and talk about South Carolina, Mississippi State, because I know the audience wants to hear about this thriller.
Oh, what a thriller we had.
Talk about the Bryce. Get into the whole thing. Come on, let's go.
Down in Willie B., Williams-Brice Stadium. After the game, you know, even the Mississippi State, some of the writers there haven't been there in years, and they said the atmosphere down there is just incredible. With the pregame stuff, they come out with 2001, which I put on the Facebook page. Sandstorm. I mean, it's just a wonderful atmosphere. Just like I'm sure every other SEC school down south, you know, every one of them would be great. The game itself, Spencer Rattler, 18 for 20. And the fact that he only threw 20 times was amazing because they committed to the run. They rushed about 50 times, even though it felt like every rush was about 3 yards. Rattler, 18 for 20. One was a drop by receiver, and the other incompletion was a throw that probably could have been called for defensive pass interference. He was that close to being perfect. What was an improvement from last year for Rattler? He's built off the last 3 games that he had last year. And right now, he's a top-rated quarterback in the SEC right now by the stats. Mississippi State hung tough. They had the one kid that South Carolina couldn't guard. He had 250 yards receiving. I can't remember the guy's name now.
It's blanking on me, too. And I was watching the game, and I can't remember.
But they pulled off the win, go to 2-2, and they're playing under the lights at Neyland Stadium this week.
Tough match. Well, Tennessee looking for revenge.
Yes,
so
they
it's
going
to be interesting. Kev, why don't you touch on Florida State Clemson, because you saw the end of that one. Watching the South Carolina fans.
I was there at the one of the frat houses in the University of South Carolina. They put on, where's the Clemson game? So we put that on 24-24 into the fourth quarter. Now, Clemson was having trouble with kicking game this year. They brought in a kid, Jonathan Wheats, who decided in his first college game, decides to yank a 29-yard field goal. That near the end of regulation, they go into overtime. Coleman gets a 24-yard pass from Travis to put Florida State up. And then Klubnik goes incomplete on fourth and one, and ball game over, and Clemson loses, as they should. Coming from a South Carolina fan.
Florida State has escaped 2 weeks in a row. Escaped at BC, escaped at Clemson. Just to see what they have going on. A couple of the three big games of the weekend. Start with we'll start in Tuscaloosa. Alabama, Milroe came in and played a really good game, actually. Defense played really well, held Ole Miss to 10 points. They won 24-10. Big second half. Ole Miss led at the half, but it was a really competitive game for most of it. Alabama still has struggles on offense, and if their defense ever has a game where they're not great, they're going to be in trouble. Washington State, Oregon State in the Pac-2. 38-35. Game wasn't as close as the finish. The game was 35-14 going into the fourth.
Yep.
Cam Ward is a quarterback no one's talking about for the Heisman. This kid is really good. He threw for four scores, threw for 400 yards, 404, I think it was. It's two really good football teams up in Pullman. A lot of these schools have banded together as they've been forgotten because, unfortunately, in the Pac-12, they're the only two schools that don't play in major markets, so nobody really fought for them to come into their conference. But these are two really good teams. College Game Day made a nasty little comment about how nobody wants to watch, no one's watching bowl. And Coach Dickert on Washington State kind of went off on it a little bit. Then Herb Street went and defended Corso for his comment. But, these schools are proud. These players went there to play in Pac-12 conference play. And, these are the kind of rivalries and kind of schools that are going to fall off here eventually. But let's be honest. Washington State's good, and Washington's playing a 10-game tough schedule in the Big Ten. Are they going to schedule Washington State if they're at a lower conference? They're going to stop playing the Apple Cup. Oregon's going to do the same thing with Oregon State. It's not going to be worth them to take a trip to Corvallis maybe 5 years from now because the schedule's so hard, they're going to schedule two patsies. And that's unfortunately what we're going to see. But really, really good game. Also, Dickert went off on ESPN saying that network itself went out of its way to kill the Pac-12 with the contract and stuff like that without airing it on their networks. So it was pretty heated.
Yeah.
Well, Washington State, but they held off 38-35, recovered the onside kick, and, good team. In the beginning of the year, I picked Oregon State to win this conference, if you remember. And I said I gave everybody's tough game. I picked this as the toughest game on their schedule because it was a road game against a challenging squad, and they did not come through it like I thought they would. In the finale, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Notre Dame felt so confident down the stretch of this game, they decided we're going to play with 10. We don't need 11.
We don't need 11.
Last two plays of the game, first was an incompletion. The second one, they let them run in. And you knew they were going to run from there. They're inside the two. Notre Dame actually came back. Hartman led them down the field. They played really well. But Ohio State came back 65 yards in 85 seconds. G?
Don't these teams usually have a spotter and their only job is to make sure that they always have 11 on the field? I mean, that
you
guy needs
think.
Fired, man.
You think.
They had no timeouts left, couldn't call anything. They had nothing going on their side with that because they called a timeout three plays earlier. But on a third down and long, they actually played a real soft kind of zone and rushed three. Nice pass from Ohio State, got inside the two. Notre Dame really gave this one away. They should have won the game. They won the better team in this game, I thought.
I mean, that's the only
job I'm qualified for is to be a spotter.
I mean, it's not the touchdown that killed him. It was at third and 19 at the 22.
and they gave it up.
Can't give that up.
No. They played a soft zone and they let him in there. You don't rush three with a really non-mobile quarterback that Ohio State hasn't had in such a long time. They've always had such mobility back there, the quarterback position. They drove down and they won. But I just don't understand how you play with 10 guys. Holtz went off on Ohio State before the game in the pregame speech, and Ryan Day was pretty pissed about it, and he let him know it in the postgame speech about how he ripped Holtz back. Pretty interesting. A lot of things going on College Game Day and a lot of other interesting pregame rituals and speeches and stuff this week. But it was a really good card of games this week. Any comments on any of these games, boys?
No more than I've already said.
Okay, just one last thing, just because we've covered this team a lot. Appalachian State. Okay, now I'm watching this because I'm that idiot that had four games going on at the same time, including South Carolina. And I'm watching Wyoming App State. And Wyoming scored early. App State's up 12-7. They go up, and then they score a touchdown, go up 19-7 in the fourth quarter. Wyoming breaks off a long run with about 5.5 to go, cuts it to 19-14. App State drives down the field, go out for the 46-yard field goal, blocked, return for the touchdown. Okay? So, and they get the two-point conversion, so it's 22-19 Wyoming. App drives down the field again, and they're in field goal range, and they get picked off at the 6 with 12 seconds left. Appalachian State plays more exciting games than any team ever. We never watch them. Nobody watches them. This team plays fun games. Wyoming is just this team that just hangs around. There's nothing special there, but they're hanging around, and they block the field goal. They're about to go up 8. They block the field goal, and they win the game 22-19. Just had to mention that game. I thought it was crazy. Anyway, so this week we have just a few top 25s. I'm sorry, G. What's up?
Good. Nope, good.
Okay, top 25s. There's only a few contests where we want to talk about. First, I got to mention one that isn't two top 25. South Carolina visits number 21 Tennessee. Important game for this show. Number 24 Kansas visits number 3 Texas. Number 13 LSU heads to 20 Ole Miss. Number 8 USC heads to prime Colorado. I know they're not ranked, but I had to mention that one. Number 11 Notre Dame and number 7 Duke. And if they were playing basketball, I'd hate both teams. And finally, the big one, number 10 Utah at number 19 Oregon State. That's going to be the feature game of the week.
We are. Darren, you are 8-3-1. Kevin and I are both 7-4-1 through 4.
How am I 8-3-1? I went 1-1 last week.
Yeah.
I'm 9-2-1. Stop ripping me off.
I will double check.
I was the only one that lost one, but I'm 9-2-1.
Okay. We will double check that.
I don't need to double check it. I know what I am.
All right. Let's go for the game of the week, Darren.
Okay, Oregon State, they lost last week. We knew it would be tough. Utah coming off the win off UCLA. Huge struggle throwing the ball, playing with backup quarterbacks. Cameron Rising still not back. Might play this week. We just don't know. They never tell us. They're 120th in the nation in throwing. Oregon State's very physical, as is Utah. Kev, Oregon State laying 3.5 at home on Friday night under the lights in Corvallis.
Only because of the uncertainty of Cam Rising playing, I'm going to go with Oregon State. They need to bounce back with a big win. Utah's been doing enough to win, but I think on the road here, I don't think they get the job done. I think Oregon State wins and covers the 3.5.
Gino,
I'm going the opposite way. I think it's Utah. I'm taking the 3.5. I think it's close, and Utah pulls this out. Darren? Well,
Oregon State weak against the pass, strong against the run. I think they stopped the Utah run. Utah's having trouble throwing the ball. Oregon State by 10. Oregon State wins outright. Covers relatively easily. Bounces back. Okay. Do you guys want to do the rest of the college picks, or you want to save them for later? All right. Who wants to go first? Kevin, Gino? Gino, go first. Give us your two picks this week.
All right. I took them last week. They did well for me. No. I'm changing it up. I'm taking Texas minus the 16.5 against Kansas. I had them last week. I think they're rolling. I'm taking Texas. And my other game is I'm taking Michigan minus the 17 against Nebraska. This is 3 touchdowns with no problem. Rocking and rolling. Here we go, Michigan. I'm taking Michigan as my third game. Kev?
Hail to the victors. All right, Kev.
The other game that we were considering for game of the week was Duke-Notre Dame.
Yep.
College Game Day is going to Duke. So they are crossed off the list. Now there are only 6 Power 5 teams.
Shocking that ESPN chose Duke.
Yeah. This was the first time the college game day for football has been there. There's only six remaining. And I don't think they're going to go in there anytime soon. It's Cal, Illinois, Maryland, Rutgers, Syracuse, and Virginia.
They will go to Rutgers within the next 2 years.
So I think because it's home, because they are excited about them being there, I think Duke somehow pulls this off as the home underdog. They're getting six. I'm going to take Duke getting the points against Notre Dame.
All right.
And the third game was a toss-up. I liked Florida getting one at Kentucky, but I'm going to go with a different game. I'm going to go Fresno State. They're laying 24.5 at home versus Nevada. Nevada's just bad.
Fresno State's ranked. Fresno State's good.
And, you know, if Fresno State doesn't win this by 5 touchdowns, I'd be shocked. So I'm going to lay the 24.5 and take Fresno State.
Big spreads on the board. Darren?
I went with two favorites also, which is not normally my game here, and Oregon State, so three. I'm taking Maryland lane 14 against Indiana. Indiana has not been good. They struggled with Toledo at home last week. They needed overtime to win that game. Not that Toledo, not that the Rockets are bad, but Maryland should win by 3 scores in this game against Indiana, lane 14. And I like UCF. They played K-State tough last week for about 3.5 quarters. They're a good team. Superior to Baylor. I think they're going to win by more than 11.5 at home. I think that UCF wins this game by about 20. I'm going to take UCF minus 11.5.
All right.
Gee, that's the college football story. Back to you, sir.
All right. We'll hit on a couple of things. One, before we get to a couple of the baseball playoffs, really hasn't been much that has changed, but we said goodbye to one of the Hall of Famers that was still living, Mr. Oriole Brooks Robinson, this week. Died at the age of 86. He played for 22 years only as an Oriole, known as Mr. Oriole, Mr. Hoover, the Hoover Vacuum, the Human Vacuum. He had a lot of nicknames. Listen, 18-time All-Star. He had over 10,000 at-bats, first off, which is a crazy stat to begin with. 2,848 hits, 1,357 RBIs, 268 home runs, 1,232 runs scored. The guy was an all-time great. He's in the Hall of Fame for a reason. Darren, any comments about Mr. Oriole?
I never saw him play, obviously. None of us really did at any point. But statistically, you know, the greatest defensive third baseman of all time. Offensively, you probably give the nod to Schmidt. But, I mean, there are people that will say he's the greatest third baseman that ever played the game. Others would say Schmidt. Some might say Brett. Some might say Eddie Matthews. But when you're in that kind of company, as one of the three or four names that comes out as the greatest third baseman of all time, you were clearly special. Again, the highlights I've seen of his defense were legendary. Kev?
Yep.
Agreed.
All right. Playoffs really haven't changed much. American League still has the same 7. Seattle, Houston, and Texas all within a couple of games for the NL West and for the last playoff wild card spot. Kev?
Yeah, a couple of big series here. Seattle and Texas play 4 games, so that'll decide the AL West.
And Texas swept them last weekend. Texas really pulled ahead.
So Seattle really needs to bounce back here. And the other one that affects both wild card races, you've got Houston playing Arizona. Yeah, the big former National League matchup there.
Yeah, I mean, right now Houston's playing Seattle tonight.
They've got one game left. Yep.
Yeah, they're up 4-3 right now, and then they finish up with Arizona. Two teams fighting. When you look at it, Arizona and Chicago hold the wild card lead. Miami half game gap going into today, but they split today with the Mets, so they might lose a little bit of the ground.
The Cubs lost. So the Cubs. Yeah, they lost to the Braves, and
Arizona won.
So Arizona's up by 2.
Cincinnati lost as well, so they didn't do anything. So now the Cubbies and Miami are really almost deadlocked there right now. The way it works out, D-backs finish up with – they have one more, I think, with the White Sox, then they get Houston. Chicago has one more with Atlanta, and then they get Milwaukee. Miami has now, after tonight, one more with the Mets and then 3 at Pittsburgh. Cincinnati has one more with Cleveland, then they finish with St. Louis. It really comes down to the wire. I mean, all these teams, I think, are on the road, too. It's weird how it all works out. Nobody's going to celebrate on their home. I think Arizona might be home, actually, out of the four.
Well, either Arizona or Houston is.
Yeah.
Playing each other.
And on the other side, you know, Toronto, the Yankees take 2 out of 3 from Toronto here to start this series here. So Cole probably wins the Cy Young. I mean, in the American League, 15-4 with a sub-2.7 ERA is the way he's going to finish out. With a team that's going to finish 500 or maybe slightly better.
And Kev, you know, last week we actually talked a little bit about the NL Cy Young, and you had mentioned Blake Snell. I had said, well, maybe Strider's got a shot. I went back and looked. You are 100% correct, man. Blake Snell's stats are just ridiculous. And I thought it was a little closer, and I thought Strider may have had a shot. I don't even with. Snell's only got 14 wins. Even with just the 14 wins, his numbers are crazy.
Yeah.
So I kind of flipped. I'm in agreement with you. I think he's definitely winning the NL Cy Young, and I agree with you, Darren, about Cole. Go ahead, Darren.
Just one quick point on the Padres, just because I follow them. The Padres are 4.5 out of the playoffs right now. Do you know what their record is in extra innings? 0-12. So if they would have just went 4-8, they would be right there. 0-12. This team has been that awful in extra inning games. So that, you know, the difference in one run games and extra inning games is always the difference in making the playoffs. Padres have scored their opponents by something like 70 something runs, yep. Probably better than anybody in the playoff hunt right now. Maybe Arizona has them. It's close, but
and that's a damn shame, by the way, because Kevin and I both had San Diego winning the National League this year.
Yeah, I was not, but I had him win. I had him in the playoffs.
And this is totally petty, but you know, don't you feel bad for Miami complaining that the Mets didn't cover the field with the tarp over the weekend?
You know what's funny?
They had
the Dolphins
give
it to the Jets.
That's
I had
right.
to put up with it.
We had to play that
82 AFC Championship game.
That's
so
right.
Cry me a river, and now you got a split against a team you should have swept. So there you go. I'm with you.
All right, moving over to another sport. Big trade in the NBA today. Damian Lillard finally gets traded. He goes to the Milwaukee Bucks to go play with Giannis. It's a three-team deal. Portland gets Drew Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, Kamara, a 29 unprotected first-round pick from Milwaukee. Swap rights. Phoenix gets Nurkic, Grayson Allen, Nassir Little, and Keon Johnson. Any thoughts on the trade, guys?
Milwaukee better win this title in the next year or two, because if Giannis is not happy in 2 years that they don't win, you know, you're going to have an aging Lillard. And if Giannis leaves, the Bucks don't control their own first round pick till about 2032 at this point. They will be able to rebuild through the draft.
This was done to keep Giannis.
Yep.
The only reason the deal was done is because this is the only chance they had to keep Giannis.
Yep.
Otherwise he's going to be a Knick or one of those other big market teams. I think they had to make the trade. Lillard has never really won anywhere. I mean, he's always been a playoff team, but they've never done anything. I don't call it a gamble because I like Damian Lillard, but it's you're like you said, Kev, they're going to fall into the abyss if they don't turn a title out in the next 2 years.
Okay, and the last item we have up is the 2023 Ryder Cup begins tomorrow. Actually. Probably begins in a couple of hours, our time. Simone Golf Courses over there, Marco Simone. It's right outside of Rome, Italy. Team Europe is at -105 to win. The USA is at +105. If you like the tie, it's a +1100, by the way. And just a couple of odds real quick before you get into it. To score the most points individually, Scotty Scheffler's at +800. Victor Hovland, Rory McIlroy, and John Rahm are at +900. And Xander Schauffele's at +1500. Guys, any thoughts on the 2023 Ryder Cup?
You want to go first, Kev, or you want me to go?
No, go ahead, Darren.
Okay, here's the interesting things about this course. You can see St. Peter's Basilica from the course, which has got to be pretty freaking cool, right? This is not a long course. It's 6,300 yards. What it is that from what they explain, and again, I've never seen it, but they've played 3 straight Italian Opens there. So obviously this is the premier course in Italy. They have the seventh hole is the most challenging. It's a 203-yard par three that slopes heavy right. So if you don't land on the green, you're most likely making bogey is the way they position this, because it's going to be a very, very difficult putt. They have the two longest holes are hole one and hole 16. They're both 501-yard par fives, which does not seem like much.
Wow.
I'm just saying. So, this, again, it's a 6,300-yard course. So it's really – the way to describe it is it's a course designed for a risk-and-reward type of player. Again, not long. 17 kilometers, I should say, from the center of Rome. So I guess it's all about atmosphere. I don't have a lot more to say about it. I've never really watched a tournament there, so I can't speak much about it. We'll see how it goes. It's always fun. I love the Ryder Cup. I can't wait to see it. The other thing that I heard this week was DeChambeau complaining a little bit about it, and Koepka kind of shut him down today with the, you know, everybody on the LIV Tour had the same opportunities I had, and I'm here. So, therefore, him and DeChambeau hate each other anyway. But I thought that was interesting. Go USA. Kev?
Yeah, I think the key to the USA winning is probably going to be Justin Thomas. You know, he and Spieth, when they played together previously, they've done real well in the Ryder Cup in the foursomes and four balls. If JT can find his game, that would go a long way for the Americans to win the Ryder Cup. I think he's the key guy here.
Listen, okay. I mean, he was a surprise pick. He was not in good form down the stretch of the year. He was not competitive at all. Let's see what happens. I mean, it's a good squad. I'm excited to watch these guys play.
Let's see if he rewards Zach Johnson's faith in him there.
Absolutely. That's all right. I got.
It is time for our NFL picks for week number four. We say this all the time. See, we can't wait for the season to get here. You turn around and you're in week four, and here we are in week four. Kevin and Darren are both 5-4. I am 2-7. I'm really tearing it up at this moment. Kev, I flipped the coin between you and Darren, and you are first up.
My first game, I'm doing something that I hate doing, but the way they're looking, I just don't see them being in the game. I'm going to take the Chiefs laying the 9.5 on Sunday night. Second game, boy, the rest of the games were tough to me this week. I'm going Monday night. I'm going with the Giants. I'm going to take them to win. They desperately need this game, and I think Barkley finds a way to play. I think
I have to switch a game. Okay.
Wait, were you taking the Giants too?
Yeah. I'll go elsewhere. Go ahead.
We're all making a conscious effort not to pick the same game. So go ahead, Kev.
Unless we're against each other.
Exactly. You got one more, Kev.
And my third game, because they're home, I was looking at a couple other teams, but I'm going to give the Texans a shot here at home against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh on a shorter week. You know, I'm not that impressed with Pickett. Stroud's been playing real well. They're home dogs. I think there's a chance for the Texans to pull a surprise over Pittsburgh. So I'm going to take the Texans. I've got a +3.
2.5.
2.5? Yeah, okay.
As of this morning.
Those are Darren's, my three.
Darren, moving over to you, buddy.
Okay. I hate having to do this. I alluded to one. It's my second pay, actually, not my first. But I'm taking Buffalo to lay the 2.5 and beat Miami. I hate it when a team scores 70 points. I'm joking. That doesn't happen. But I hate it when a team scores 50 or more. I feel like they shot their load last week, and they may come up short this week. I think that Buffalo's starting to find their form. I don't think they want to lose another division game. I think they find a way to beat the Dolphins. I only have to win by 2.5, which I like. I think they'll win by a touchdown. I like the Rams getting 1.5 in Indy. I think that the Rams – listen, Stafford's a good player. They played the Bengals really tough. Richardson will probably be back. I think Aaron Donald might have a field day with him in the backfield this week. I think the Rams, get back and get even to 500 in that one. And I had the Giants, but I'm going to go to the Chargers, laying 5.5 against the Raiders. Reason why is because of the uncertain status of Garoppolo, the little uncertainty that's going on with Vegas. I picked the Chargers to win this division. I hate picking Brandon Staley in any bet ever. I will not bet this game, I promise you. But I'm going to take the Chargers laying 5.5.
All right. Yeah. I have not been good, so we're going to continue trying to get going with stuff. I'm taking Philadelphia minus the 8.5 against my Washington team. I did not like the way they came out last week. They were horrible against Buffalo. I don't think they're that good, and playing against these better teams, they're gonna take a beating. I'm taking Philadelphia minus the 8.5. My second game, I'm taking Cleveland minus the 2.5 against the Baltimore Ravens. Cleveland's defense is really, really good. I mean, they're gonna be top five in this league. Baltimore, something just not working with me. That Dobbins is gone. They're searching for a running back. You know, they're using Melvin Gordon on snaps now. I'm taking Cleveland minus the 2.5 at home. And my third game, here you go, Darren. You ready?
I can't wait.
I am taking the Chicago Bears plus 2.5 against Denver. Denver is not good. I know Chicago isn't either, but they are better than this. They're going to wake up at some point and put 25 on somebody. I think it's this week against Denver. Denver is not good. And I'm taking Chicago plus the 2.5 for my three picks for week number 4.
To make you laugh, I almost had Denver as my last pick over Chicago. And then I went with the Chargers instead because I can't pick a team that gave up 70 last week and quit. Kev and Gino both went 2-0-1 last week in college. I went 1-1-1. And then in the pros, we're all about the same midway. I know you're a little bit behind the G, but not by much.
Just to throw this out there before we sign off, we do have a London game, a 9 a.m. London game this week.
That's true.
Yeah. Jacksonville against the Falcons. Any thoughts on this? It feels like every time there's a game in London, Jacksonville is playing. Jacksonville minus 3.5 against the Falcons in London is the 9 a.m. game.
I'm excited for that Disney Plus coverage of it where they're going to do another Field of Toy Story or some other stuff.
I'll tell you the truth. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm
interested. But you got to look at it at least.
Absolutely.
Well, you're a Disney junkie. There's no way you're not going to look at it.
Oh, I have to. Yeah, but listen, I am way too into football to deal with, shenanigans, basically. But I have to see how this is going to look. This is going to be funny.
You know what? It can't be worse than the broadcasters we have to listen to.
you're right.
I mean, with the Jets, all of a sudden it's like, I don't know. Tony Romo's become just so annoying to listen to. Collinsworth, I can't stand. It actually makes me like Buck and Aikman on Monday night. I can't believe I'm saying that.
They're not that bad. Here's the thing. 2 weeks in a row, you listen to Romo do the Cowboys, you listen to Nance do the Patriots, and it's really hard. You feel like they are rooting against you a little
bit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, Romo does a pretty decent job of explaining everything Zach's doing wrong. So you got to give him that.
But he's annoying to listen to.
But he is. He's good, but he's annoying as hell. I don't know.
Romo's almost getting into Tim McCarver type zone for me where, shut up once in a while. You don't have to explain every little nuance because we watch football.
You know what? Except for the Taylor Swift crap, I thought the Burkhardt Olsen team isn't that bad.
They're really good.
They're pretty good.
They're underrated. They don't get the notoriety.
They're the top. They're the top squad now on Fox
for now until Brady comes in next year,
and that also gets knocked down. But yeah, it's true.
But you're right. I like Burkhardt and Olsen, but it's not like
they're not great. They're okay. They're pretty good. They get a feature Fox game. It's just that it's not a Jet game usually.
Yeah.
We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren. I'm here with Kevin, here with Gino, talking about the wonderful and magical world of sports, talking about the Jets who suck. Anyway, but beside that, you can get our podcast anywhere you download a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, whether it be Spotify, whether it be TuneIn, however you like to do it. Send us a message on Facebook, respond to our stuff, share it, like it, do something about it. Tell us what you want to hear more. Tell us that you hate what we're saying. Disagree with us as much as you'd like. But by all means, please contact us. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.